appreciate the good prayer that Mike led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate the very uplifting hymns David led us in as we raised our voices in praise to God. And appreciate that good reading of the scripture Steve just gave for us. And appreciate the presence of each and every one here tonight. It's especially good to see the Pache family with us tonight. It's so good to see them and the new addition to their family. We're so happy for Ivan and Candace and Anna and for the new addition to their family with baby Laura. And we're so happy for them, and we are thankful that they're here with us, and we wish them well as they're raising up a little baby girl, and we're so thankful that they were able to get her. And you think about that. You think about the great thing that they did in adopting baby Laura, and how that a child's going to be raised by a godly family and brought up in the training and admonition of the Lord. It's a very commendable thing. And we're thankful for that and thankful for them. And it's good to have them with us and along with each and every one here tonight. And encourage everyone to again open up your Bibles as we prepare to continue our study on being a servant of Jesus Christ. And we learn in the New Testament about many who either refer to themselves as a servant of Christ or they have been noted as a servant of Jesus Christ. In the reading that Steve just gave for us a few moments ago there from Philippians chapter 1, we learned about two of them, didn't we? The Apostle Paul and Timothy. And in the greeting that was written to the church in Philippi, it began by noting the Apostle Paul and Timothy as being servants of Jesus Christ. And as we continue to think about being a servant of Jesus Christ, I want us to take some time this afternoon to open up our New Testaments and to take a look at some notable servants of Christ that is found there. And as we're looking at some of these notable servants of Christ that we find in our New Testaments, let's pay attention and notice some of their commendable attributes. I want to begin by talking about the Apostle Paul. We talked about the Apostle Paul this morning, and there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, how Paul identified himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. But Paul not only identified himself as a servant of Jesus Christ there in his epistle to the Romans, but as we've already mentioned, he also identified himself as a servant of Christ there in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1 as he was writing to the church in Philippi. He identified himself as a servant of God there in Titus chapter 1 and in verse 1. But I want us to notice how Paul identifies himself there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 19. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And notice these words of the Apostle Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Notice what he says here. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all." Why, Paul? Well, notice, "that I might win the more." Think about those words of Paul for a moment. Paul made it very clear that he was free to all men. But although he has been freed from all men, he made himself a servant to all. And what was that purpose? That he may win the more. I want us to think about that commendable attribute of the Apostle Paul. And I want us to recognize the need for us too to be a people who strive to be a soul winner for Jesus. Just as the Apostle Paul was one who desired to be a soul winner for Jesus. We've talked about the Apostle Paul a lot lately, especially going through our study in the book of Acts. We've talked about Paul and many of his commendable traits. But as you think of Paul as being a servant of Jesus Christ, I think this commendable trait of him being one who desired to win the more, him being one who desired to be a soul winner for Jesus, is one that we need to likewise strive to imitate as servants of Christ today. But we also see not only the fact that Paul strived to be a soul winner for Jesus, but we also see that his number one priority was that of pleasing his master, Jesus Christ. You see, we learn about that in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. And notice with me these words of the inspired apostle there in Galatians 1 and verse 10. Paul there asked. He asked, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" Those are good questions. But notice how he answered that. He said, "For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant or a servant of Christ." Another commendable attribute of the Apostle Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. He was not one who sought to please men, but rather he prioritized in pleasing his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we too need to strive to be one who, as the Apostle Paul, was totally committed to serving his Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and pleasing him. We also need to be one who is totally committed in serving Jesus Christ and pleasing him. But we also learn there in Philippians 1 and verse 1 of Timothy. Timothy is also mentioned and identified in the New Testament as being a servant of Christ. And Timothy, he was one whom Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2. Open up your Bibles there with me, if you will, in Philippians chapter 2. Of one who was highly spoken of by Paul. I want us to notice how Paul highly speaks of Timothy here in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 19. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father he served me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me." I want you to think about those words of Paul for a moment. Here Paul is talking about Timothy and about some of his commendable attributes. Notice as Paul is talking here about Timothy, how he speaks of Timothy's sincerity for his fellow servants of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul speaks of his sincerity there in verse 20. He speaks of how Timothy will sincerely care for their state. Timothy was one who truly cared about his brethren. He was one who was sincere in caring about his fellow servants of Christ. And Paul brings that out. We also see here where Timothy, he obviously was not one who was all about himself. Timothy wasn't all about self, was he? And we see that not only in verse 20, but also in verse 21, when Paul says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ Jesus." It's interesting to note that the word "all" there, "for all seek their own," is used here in the general sense, as a general rule. But there were some exceptions to that rule, weren't there? Timothy was one of those exceptions, wasn't he? We see that here. You see, Timothy, he was not one who was self-centered. He was one who cared about others. He was one who was interested in the things of Christ. And Paul says, you know, hey, not all is like that. Not all are caring about others. Not all are interested in the things of Christ. But Timothy is. And that's highly commendable, isn't it? And we need to learn from that. And we too need to strive as servants of Christ today to be a people who care about our fellow servants in Jesus Christ. We need to be a people who care about the things of Christ. I appreciate the presence of each and every one of you tonight here. Because you know what that tells me? It tells me you care about the things of Christ. Or you wouldn't be here. Sadly, there are many who could be here who choose not to be here, who obviously don't care that much about the things of Christ, do they? Because think about it, if they really did, where would they be right now? They'd be here with us, wouldn't they? But I commend you for being here. I commend you for caring about the things of Christ. And just as Timothy was one who cared about the things of Christ, we need to likewise recognize as a servant of Christ, we need to always put the things of Christ at the top of our list. They always need to be first, don't they, Steve? Always need to be first. And when you think about that commendable trait of Timothy, and you think about his character, he proved his character, didn't he? As we see here in Philippians chapter 2. As Paul says in verse 22, "But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel." Timothy proved himself, didn't he? And we likewise need to strive to be a people who, as servants of Christ, prove ourselves as servants of Christ. We also learn there in Acts chapter 16 and verse 2 that Timothy was one who was well spoken by his brethren. That's another commendable trait of a servant of Jesus Christ. He was well spoken of by his brethren. And as a servant of Jesus Christ, each and every one of us need to strive to always be a people who are well spoken of. Not just among our local brethren, but even wherever we go in the brotherhood. Wherever we go in the brotherhood, people should know us in our character and should speak well of us, shouldn't they? Just as Timothy was spoken well of by his brethren. But another notable servant of Jesus Christ that's found recorded in our New Testaments is James. James is the half-brother of Jesus. Did you know that? He's a half-brother of Jesus. We learn about that in Matthew chapter 13 and also in Mark chapter 6 and in verse 3. But one thing about James is, as we learn in John chapter 7 and verse 5, he didn't always believe that in Jesus and that he was the Christ. He didn't always believe, did he? He once doubted Jesus, his brother, as the Christ, didn't he? We learn about that in John chapter 7, verse 5. But I want us to notice there in James chapter 1 and verse 1 how he humbly identifies himself in this epistle. He humbly identifies himself how? As a servant of Jesus Christ. Think about that. James, one who once doubted Christ, now humbly identifies himself as a servant of Christ. You see, James, although he once doubted his half-brother, he now has submitted himself to his half-brother, accepting him as master, accepting him as Lord and Savior. That's very commendable, isn't it? Very commendable. And James, notice how Paul describes him there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9. Open up your Bibles there to Galatians 2. Notice here in Galatians 2 and verse 9 how Paul describes three fellow servants of Christ. We're going to talk about all three of them. But the first one here is James. Then he talks about Peter. Then he talks about John. But notice what is said about James here among those three. He says, "When James, Cephas, that is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars," that is, one of authority and influence in the church. That's how Paul looked at them. He says, when these men perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Think about that. Here is James, a servant of Jesus Christ, who is being identified or recognized by the Apostle Paul as a pillar of the church. One who had authority, one who had influence in the church. And we learn about that, don't we? We studied that not too long ago as we went through our study in Acts chapter 15. Remember who was one of the notable men there that had influence in making the decision over the conflict of circumcision? Who had some valuable input in that? Remember? James. James had valuable input in that, didn't he? We learn about that in Acts 15, verses 13 and through 22. To be simply put, James was very influential on the decision concerning circumcision. He was, as Paul noted, One who had authority, one who had influence in the church and in making some important decisions. But another one that we see mentioned there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9 as being one who is described as a pillar is Peter. But notice how Peter describes himself there in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. How did Peter describe himself? As a servant of Jesus Christ. Again, Peter was one who certainly was influential in the church. Peter was one who, as we learn in Acts chapter 2, who opened the door to the kingdom for the Jews. And then what did he do in Acts chapter 10? He opened the door to the kingdom for who? The Gentiles. Peter certainly played an important role in the early church, didn't he? He was certainly one who was a notable servant of Jesus Christ in his preaching and in his service to Christ. When you think about Peter and you think about Peter being a servant of Christ, I'm sure a plurality of things probably cross your mind. A variety of things probably run across your mind when you think about Peter. Some of you probably think of Peter about as being one who was fiery. Peter was certainly a fiery servant, wasn't he? When you think about that, you think about him wanting to fight and defend, fight for Jesus and defend him in the cutting off of Malchus's ear, right? Peter was impulsive, wasn't he? He was fiery. You think about Peter and about his zeal. He was certainly zealous, wasn't he? Remember what Peter said to Christ? He said, Lord, I'll never stumble. For nothing will ever cause me to stumble for you. He even told the Lord that he would even die for him if need be, right? But when the rubber met the road, what happened? Peter denied him, didn't he? But then Jesus restored him again, didn't he? And remember what he told Peter to do? Feed his sheep. Peter had work for Peter to do, important work. And Peter did that important work, didn't he? And when we think about Peter as a servant of Jesus Christ, we can recognize that he was a fiery, zealous servant of Jesus Christ. But the third one mentioned there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9 is John. John's another notable servant of Jesus Christ. John identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ there in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. And again, when you think about John and you think about him being a servant of Jesus Christ, again, I believe probably a variety of thoughts run through your mind. One of those thoughts that run across my mind when I think about John being a servant of Christ is the fact that he was commonly known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how John often identified himself in his gospel. The disciple in whom Jesus loved. And when you think about that, you also, when you think about John and his service to Christ, what else comes to your mind? You want to know what else comes to my mind? There, as we learn in John chapter 19, as John was standing by the cross of Christ. And as John, this disciple in whom Jesus loved, was standing by the cross of Christ. Remember what Jesus told him? He told him, "Behold thy mother," right? He told him pretty much to take care of his mother, Mary. And what did we learn there in John chapter 19 and verse 27? From that day on, what did John do? He took her to his house. He cared for her, didn't he? And you think about John, and you think about him being a servant of Jesus Christ. You not only think about him being the disciple whom Jesus loved, but you also think about him caring for Jesus' mother. Taking in his mother and caring for her. Commendable. That'd be certainly commendable, wouldn't it? But two, we learn about John there in Acts chapter 3 and verse 4 as being a vital part of the establishment of the early church. Going around with preaching in the temple with Peter. Even getting arrested with Peter for the preaching of Christ, right? Remember that as we talked about that in our study in Acts 3 and Acts 4? You see, that again speaks volumes of John and his service to Jesus Christ. How he was one who was willing to even get arrested and to even lay his life on the line for his service to his master, Jesus the Christ. But another one. One that probably isn't even thought of too much, that is mentioned as a notable servant of Jesus Christ in our New Testaments, is Phoebe. There in Romans chapter 16, go with me if you will in your Bibles there to Romans chapter 16. And here in Romans chapter 16, we learn about Phoebe being a notable servant of Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul said here. And writing to the church in Rome here in Romans 16, beginning in verse number 1. He says, I commend you to Phoebe, our sister. Now watch it. Who is a servant of the church in Caesarea. That you may receive her in the Lord in the manner worthy of the saints. And assist her in whatever business she has need of you. Now notice these commendable words of the Apostle Paul in regard to Phoebe. He says, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Think about that. Here's a sister of Christ. A sister of Christ who Paul says is a servant of the church. Who he says has been a helper of many, myself included, Paul says. That's highly commendable, isn't it? And you think about this commendable attribute of Phoebe. You think about how she served as a good example of one who assisted others. We need to think about how we too need to be like that as servants of Christ, right? You see, Phoebe, although she was a woman, there was things that she could do. There's things that she could do. And she did those things. She as a female servant of Christ, took advantage of the opportunity that she had to do good, much good to others. And even the Apostle Paul himself. And you think about that. Especially ladies, I want you to think about Phoebe for a moment. I want you to think about these commendable words that how Paul describes her here in Romans chapter 16, verse 2. How he said she was a helper of many. I want you to think about the fact that you too are needed and useful as servants of Jesus Christ. There's things that you too can do. You too are one who is able to be a servant. And we all, whether we're male or female, all ought to strive to be a people who seek to be a helper of many. Because you want to know something? We all need one another. We all need one another, don't we? And there's going to be times when we may not have nobody else to rely on but our fellow servants in Christ. And we need to be there for our fellow servants in Christ at all times. During any time of need. And we too need to seek to be a helper of many, just as Phoebe is described as being. But another notable servant found in the New Testament there is Epaphras. We learn about this notable servant of Christ there in Colossians chapter 1. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Colossians chapter 1. And here in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 7, Paul talks about Epaphras. He says, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ, on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. There's a couple notable things mentioned by Paul here in regard to Epaphras in verse 7, isn't there? Did you catch them? First of all, he considered him as a dear fellow servant. That means he was highly regarded by the Apostle Paul. as a fellow servant. And he calls him a dear fellow servant, but he also referred to him as what? A faithful minister of Jesus Christ. Those are two things that are commendable in this notable servant of Christ, Epaphras. We go on to learn more about him there in the fourth chapter of Colossians. And turning there to Colossians chapter 4, picking up in verse number 12, Paul writes, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Here we see some more commendable things being said about this servant of Christ. Paul, in regard to Epaphras, tells them that he was one who fervently labored in the Lord on these brethren's behalf. Think about that. When Paul says he was always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. That tells us that Epaphras, he was a worker, wasn't he? He was one who wasn't lazy, but he was one who was diligent in working for the Lord. He was one who was prayerful. We learn about that too, don't we? He was one who, again, certainly cared about his brethren and their needs. Epaphras was one who was involved, wasn't he? And that's a valuable lesson for you and I. The need for us to likewise be a people who are fervent in our service to the Lord. We must not be lazy in our service to the Lord, but rather we must be diligent and busy in our service to the Lord. We need to be a people who are involved in the Lord's service. Too many people just want to sit on the sidelines, so to speak, and let everybody else do the work. Epaphras wasn't like that, was he? And neither should you or me be like that. We need to be a people who fervently labor for the Lord, as Epaphras fervently labored for the Lord. But we also learn again of the fact that he too, just as the Apostle Paul, as we talked about earlier, he too had a great zeal for the souls of men, didn't he? We see that there in verse number 13. When Paul says, "For I bear witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in these other places." He had a great zeal for the souls of men. Again, he was one who was a soul winner for Jesus, serving as a great example for you and I. But one more that is mentioned in our New Testament as being identified as a servant of Christ is Jude. Jude was also the half-brother of Jesus. But he doesn't mention his relationship in his introduction in his epistle of that bears his name, Jude, does he? He doesn't mention that relationship. But rather, he simply describes himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, as we see there in Jude 1. We go on to see Jude exhorting there in verse 3. We see him exhorting other servants of Christ to what? To contend earnestly for the faith. That's what I want to leave each and every one of you with this afternoon as fellow servants of Jesus Christ. I want to leave you with that exhortation of Jude. And I want to remind each and every one of us as servants of Christ to always strive to contend earnestly for the faith. You see, these are a few of the noble servants of Jesus Christ who are identified as being slaves of Jesus Christ in our New Testaments. May we all learn from these servants of Christ, and may we all likewise seek to be used in the Lord's service. And may we all seek to apply these commendable traits that we have discussed here this afternoon to our lives, so that we too can be faithful obedient servants of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who has not yet submitted themselves to the Lord and His will. You have an opportunity to do that. For you have heard the Word of God, and if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. You too can become a servant of Jesus Christ this afternoon. And may we all remember, as we talked about this morning, the need to continue to keep on keeping on as a servant of Christ, the need to continue to remain faithful unto death, remembering the promise that Jesus gave there in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness, and to get back on that straight narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. And if there would be one here this afternoon who would be in need of anything, whatever we can assist you with, won't you let that be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song David's selected.